Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
From the solar system to the mitochondria within your body, from the blood cells themselves, I mean, the little tiny molecules, all the way up to the universe. Everything in our God-made existence has a system. Everything has a system, or it is a system. You don't start nothing, they won't be nothing, but it all started as a system. That's what I want to talk about in this episode of Leading Leaders. Stay with me. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast. And if you haven't thought about systemically, as opposed to systematically, well, today's the day that we're going to think about that, because there really is a significant difference. I recently heard John Maxwell say, and I thought it was kind of a brilliant observation, managers manage systems and processes. Leaders influence people. One manages systems and processes, the other one manages people. Well, what's the difference? Well, it's a major difference. It's a big, big, gigantic, enormous difference. Let me put it like this. I did a little research looking at the specific differences, and I posted one of my Google results in the text of this particular presentation. But one significant difference is that systematically means you employ the use of the system. An example might be, if you understand that your DNA, your actual personal biomechanical process, which is unique to you from anybody else. That's why if you look at stuff like what Gary Brecka's doing and what the human research projects are doing, what they're looking for is the absolute common denominators between one human's biomechanical system and another. So for an example, one of the tests that Dr. Gary Brecka in 10X Health does, that test is looking at your DNA, not mine, yours, uniquely yours, separate from mine, from your spouse, from your children, from anybody else, and looking for the markers that say, this is how the body methylates various things that are sent into it. So if you have a specific diet, a specific regimen for exercise, a specific way of dealing with medical problems or medical issues, maybe use holistic health, maybe it's chiropractic, maybe it's typical medicine, maybe it's ignoring it like a head in an ostrich with a head in the sand and pretending it'll go away. However you deal with those things, each of those is a process, and each of those impacts your system. So you're managing your health and your life. That's a systematic approach. That's using the systems that exist and interacting with them. So you can systematically, epigenetically, those words are kind of related, you could impact your own health. Perhaps your family has a long history of, I don't know, diabetes, dementia, Parkinson's, MS. And there are certain things that you could do by diet, by choice, by environment, by whether it's the external environment that you have very little control of, or your own personal environment, who you choose to hang out with, the amount of stress levels that you have, that kind of thing. Or it's your diet and exercise routines. Each of those circumstantial environments are not sure exactly what's going on there. I hope it's still live streaming. Looks like it's still live streaming, but my monitor has lost its mind. The idea that your system, your body reacts to the way that you change your circumstances, change your environment, change your diet, all of those things are true. They're profoundly impactful in the way you decide what you're going to do with your body. And when you realize that, you can affect whether or not diabetes moves into your life or it's only epigenetically in your past life, meaning in your family. And there may be plenty of people who have that problem, but they're not. It's not your problem. It's not going to affect your life the same way. On the other hand, you could say, I see diabetes in the family, and I want to break that pattern. I want to break that off completely. So I'm going to stop eating those kinds of things. Now, all of a sudden, you have, by choice, impacted your system. Your system is going to react differently to this new diet that you have. Your system might be your family system. Oh, so now you're going to live another 10 years, another 15 years, another 25 years. That's going to impact the system. It's going to impact your financial position. And so one system and what decisions you make that impact that system are now going to pay off in multiple systems, in multiple relationships, in multiple practices, because it's a ripple effect, but it's still a system. It's still within the system. Now, systemically is a little bit different because you're not just using the system that already exists or working within the system that already exists. This is more like a virus that actually gets into a system and it alters the system itself. Now, in that sense, I want you to think about the culture of an organization, the relationships within a family. I want you to think about the impact that it has when a leader fails, when a leader makes a mistake, when a leader hurts somebody else's feelings, when a leader moves into a place where their attitude and their behavior impact everybody in the organization. Maybe it changes someone's willing to work there. They call it a hostile work environment. When you have that challenge within the environment where one person's mindset begins to affect everybody else. Here's another word for that. Attitude. Yeah. See, when you get an attitude, you begin to realize that there are people who are impacted by your attitude because it's infectious. The way you think about the way you feel and the way you feel about the way you think, that's an attitude. And that attitude is more contagious than a common cold. And so a leader with a bad attitude, whether it's an attitude of judgment, an attitude of sexism, racism, whatever it is that is in the leader themselves, now that influence begins to spread throughout the organization. That's systemically. That's not systematically. That would be using the systems and the processes that are already in place. That's systemically, because as the leader, as the influencer, you are the heart of the system. You are the DNA. You are the mitochondria. You are the blood cell. You are the one that's carrying power and energy from wherever you've created it, wherever you've developed it, into the life of everybody in your organization. And you've got to be willing to admit that, hey, I'm making some decisions that are going to impact a whole lot of people. I'm making some decisions that are going to have a long-term effect on the people in my organization. I'm making some decisions that, well, frankly, are going to have consequences outside of my own personal system, outside of my body. See, systemically, you create these systems. They might be your database, might be your financial accounting system, it might be your marketing. Maybe you use something like Salesforce. That's a system. These systems allow you to manage the processes, manage the people, manage the data, manage what you're getting done or not getting done. But systemically, that comes from the core of the people. So when you hear somebody say, well, our nation is systemically racist, what that's saying is that the actual systems that our organization, our country, our culture were built on were corrupt from the beginning. Or at minimum, they have a virus that has infected the system and changed the way the system functions and operates. Now, that's quite a declaration to say we are systemically racist, not systematically racist, which means we have a process for it. An example of the contrast might be, if we're systemically racist, then as a nation, it's embedded in everything we do. We can't even make a decision because it's like a virus. It's already in there. You can't stop it until you completely dismantle the system and start something else. Now, systematically, an example of that would be redlining. And redlining still happens in various ways. Some of it is about racism. Some of it is about politics. Some of it is about sexism. I have a client in Oklahoma who's working with a diversity group, specifically because there are places where if you go to apply for a job and they find out that your sexual orientation is different, your application process is different. If you go to apply for a mortgage to get a loan on a car, it's not supposed to happen. There are laws against it. And yet people tend to find a way to say, oh, you're moving into that zip code. Okay, then. Because we know you want to live in that zip code because it's a common denominator. There are other people who have the same kind of systemic thought processes that you do. And so we loan with a higher rate or a lower rate, a better rate, more down payment. It's more risky. It's pretty fascinating. But see, that's how systematically the process changes. The process is adjusted in order to take advantage. I mean, systematically, there were people who were asked to vacate their military careers after some of them decades, some of them very close to retirement, some of them extinguished, extinguished. Ladies and gentlemen of great accomplishment within their ranks. They've done incredibly phenomenal work. And yet, because they refused a particular medical procedure, they were asked to vacate their position, to retire early, to just leave. Well, that's a little harsh. But that's not systemic. That's systematic. That's a process applied to changing the behavior. Systemically would be if the actual system itself became corrupt and there's no way that you could fight it without breaking down the system. Now, as a leader, you have to ask yourself, do you want to work systemically or do you want to work systematically? And the answer is, well, yes. But you work systematically through managers. You work systematically through people that you delegate to. You work systematically through, well, systems and processes. You upgrade your database. You find new tools to get the job done. You find better ways to manage your property, your finances, your product sets. And doing so is systematically changing the entire organization. But systemically, well, that's culture. That's attitude. That's worldview. That's values. That's everything you do in the way you influence others. And that begins in you. It begins in your own mindset, begins in your own worldview, begins in your own attitude every day. Systemically, you could build an organization that looks so much like your thought processes, your attitudes, your opinions, your worldviews, your biases, that the entire organization is corrupted in that way. Now, if you've got great values, if you have great levels of high moral compass, high levels of integrity, you only operate with the best interest of everybody in mind, not just yourself and your own success, but you're intentionally looking outward and saying, what does this mean in the community? What does this mean for my employees? What does this mean for the other leadership team around me? What does this mean for the next generation of people who are going to come in here? When it's time for me to retire or pass on or move on into eternity, what will I leave behind? How will that function? How will it operate? And those are really profound and very important questions that a leader's got to be able to ask, answer, and cope with. Because it's really easy to kind of get lost in, I'm just doing it my way. I'm just living in my truth. I'm just doing what's comfortable for me, and I don't care if you like it or you don't. Well, that's a bit of a problem. Now, see, there's also a problem, like I said, systemically can be like a virus, meaning someone has actually inserted or injected this thought, this mind virus, this attitude into a system that's already existing. I watched and shared a Facebook meme from, I guess it was maybe Thursday or Friday, of a woman who is being interviewed. And in the interview, she was being approached by someone who had used the 23andMe, I think it's 23andMe, the DNA test, to find her heritage. And she is a person who has been very supportive of, well, let's just say retribution. But the payouts that would come from a family whose family line comes from slavery, et cetera, et cetera. And then there are various reparations is one, getting even is one, just different ways that that concept is said. Retribution is the bottom line, though. We want to get even. That's her worldview. She's been very, very clear about articulating that her worldview is, as a person of color, my family has been mistreated and I want a payout for it. Now, I don't know when those payouts would end. How many generations would you have to pay back to, and how many going forward? Is it her and her children and her grandchildren or great-grandchildren? I don't know how that process works. I've heard a lot of different theories on it. But the interesting thing was when the guy from the DNA test, the 23andMe, sat down with her, what he said was, we've traced your lineage back. We can go back to at least 100 different people in your lineage. And 20 of them, 20 of your family members, your DNA, were on the three ships that came to Plymouth Rock. She's like, no, that's not possible. My family were slaves. He said, no, your family were European immigrants. They owned slaves, but the indication doesn't show that they were slaves. She was very, very miffed about that. She didn't even know how to react to it. Why? Because systemically, her brain had a particular understanding, a virus, if you will, a new set of parameters to believe by. Her worldview, her attitude had been changed, had been altered. Now, had she always believed like that? I don't know. Was there someone who came into her life and implanted ideas like a virus in your computer? I don't know. But I do know that the way she was thinking and the reality that was presented to her, those two didn't go together well. Now, if you've ever had a computer that got a virus in it, and you knew that you were supposed to be checking your email or printing something out or running some lines of code where the screen was supposed to do something very specific or upload this data or download this photograph, and it didn't matter how many times you punched that button, it just didn't happen. And you had to turn the computer off and reboot it and let it reconnect all of its systems. Or maybe you've had that your Bluetooth on your computer connected to your keyboard just doesn't work. And all of a sudden, you got to turn it off and reboot it and reconnect your Bluetooth or turn it off and back on or the Wi-Fi off and back on or the Bluetooth back on and off to get your headset. See, that's a systemic problem. It's a problem that's created by a relationship in the system. The system hasn't changed. There's nothing in the process that has changed. There's something in the system that is corrupt. Leadership has the same kind of potential problem, that something in the system can get corrupt. And when that something in the system gets corrupt, well, that presents a problem because you can't change that without a complete overhaul. Maybe that's replacing leadership. Maybe that's repairing the system. Maybe that's adding things to the system that simply didn't exist before. Maybe that's giving up on the system and starting over with a new system. You know, there's a certain point where you have to update your operating system. Maybe it's your phone, maybe it's your computer, maybe it's your laptop or your iPad. And you realize that the operating system that's been running all these things so long has been great. But the system has to be updated or upgraded. I remember, it's been several years ago now, but I bought a printer. And I specifically bought this printer because it would print 17 by 32 paper. I mean, I could like literally print posters on my desk in full color. And I was so excited about that because I could see the business. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. The number of people I was going to be able to do graphic design for and print their big posters and put them right there on the front of their window when everybody else wants, you know, like 500 of those and you just want to print 4 or 5 of them. You know, I could print them, I could laminate them, I could make them available and nobody else could do that kind of short run project. It was a genius business opportunity. I spent several $100s on this 17 by 32 format printer. I bought all the ink and even some extra ink just in case. And I brought it home and I hooked it up to my computer and I printed a couple of samples. And about 3 weeks later, Microsoft decided it was time to update from whatever version of Windows we were to the new version. And in the new version, the printer driver for that printer did not work. In fact, the printer manufacturer would not offer a refund, could not offer a driver. They did not have a support team who could create and update a driver to work with the new system. I wasn't aggressive enough at the time, and I never thought of taking the printer, the several $100 printer, back to the store and going, hey, it won't work, because I knew the problem was a driver. It wasn't the printer. It wasn't manufactured wrong. I actually made it work before the system was updated. But this systemic change altered my ability to use the device that I purchased. See, that kind of systemic change is like a virus. It's like a mind virus. It's like an attitude. It's like that permanent shift in the culture of your organization that happens when a leader is corrupt, when they've made a financial mistake. And see, there were some problems in the processing of Enron, as an example. The way they did things, a little wrong. Maybe the way that, you know, a particular bank recently that had to close its doors did something wrong. They processed, they cheated, they cut the corners, they took a system that was already working and they figured out how to manipulate that system for their outcome. They didn't change the system. Systemically, the system did what the system was supposed to do, what it was designed to do, but they systematically manipulated that system to get an outcome that it wasn't supposed to produce. Enron did it. Sarbanes-Oxley was the result. Sam Bankman-Fried did it. Prison was the result. Now, I recently heard, ironically, that when they settled up with all of the investors from whom he had taken money, he's going to owe back some $3.5 billion. Ironically, the bank's net worth at its filing of bankruptcy was $4.5 billion. So somewhere, somehow, those investments netted a $1 billion net return. How do you do that and still go bankrupt? I don't even want to know. It's such a cheating of the system, a manipulation of the system, that there's a problem. Now, systemically, we've got to look back at that and go, is this a manipulation of the system or is this an altering of the system? Do we need to look at the system and see, is our banking system a problem? Well, there are many who would look at everything from the Fed to the World Bank and say, yes, our banking system is a problem. In fact, there are new things being pushed down the pike right now coming from World Economic Forum and from the Fed and from others, FDIC, that will change the way you personally do banking. Why? It's a systemic change in the way you systematically bank. The way you interact with your bank, with the systems and the processes that are already in place. You put your card in, you take out some cash, you put some cash in, you take your card out. I don't know if you know this or not. There are plenty of places that have what they call a reverse ATM. Our local movie theater in our tiny little hometown, less than 10,000 people. In that little town, when you go to the movie theater, they don't take cash at the register anymore. You cannot buy popcorn in cash. You cannot buy movie tickets in cash. You cannot buy Skittles in cash. No. You have to get out of line, take your cash to a little machine at the front door, and you have to put your cash in that machine and wait for it to spit out a gift card of equal value. That's the only way you can buy Skittles at the movie theater. Now, they've just created a captive audience, right? Because you get $20 worth of movie theater cash on a card. You can't use that at the gas pump. You can't use that at the local grocery store. You can't use that at the local 7-Eleven. Nope. They got you trapped in their system now. They've got your cash locked up in movie theater bucks, their popcorn bucks, their drink bucks, their Skittles bucks, but they're not for anything else. You can't use them outside that system. You're locked into their system. There's a whole lot of manipulation in systems right now that have you spending your dollars where they tell you to spend your dollars or whatever new currency they decide to give it a name of, but your ability to buy and sell will be manipulated by that system. That's a systemic change. That's a leadership change. How you manage your life after that happens, that will be systematically decided. It will be systematically orchestrated. you will have to figure out how to fit within the new processes. Now, what does all that have to do with you as a leader? As a leader, you've got to understand the drastic difference between systemic and systematic. You've got to understand that the systemic problems in your organization can only be solved by altering the system. The systematic problems in your organization, those can be managed. Those can be changed by saying, okay, we're going to stop doing it like that. We're going to start doing it like this. The system doesn't change, just the way you interact with it. The system doesn't change, but the process that might have to change. We thought we were entering the data in the system like this, and then we found out that our process caused us to miss a step. Now, I can tell you for a fact, I've been engaged in that kind of, for whatever reason, heated debate that I watched somebody loading information into a database, kind of wondering why that way. And they said, well, that's the easiest way. And I said, well, what if you do it this way? And they're like, well, that takes three more steps. And I said, yeah, but you get a different answer. Which one's right? And they were like, no, it's the same answer. I'm like, it's not the same answer. In fact, run it over here and run it over here. Two different computers running the same system in the same database, entering the same information, but entering one piece first as opposed to the other piece first. And guess what? We got a different answer. In fact, the answer was so drastically different that it was millions of dollars in the wrong place that we weren't paying taxes on, sadly enough, because we weren't getting the final data. We were getting fragments of the data simply because of what number was entered first and the way the forms and tables in the database processed it. So our process of human entry into the system created a systematic problem with the outcome. There was nothing wrong with the system, just the process of interacting with the system. Now, if the system had a virus, that would be a whole different problem. If the system was broken, that would be a whole different problem. If your body has a disease, your system is broken. Systemically, you may not be able to process. A type 1 diabetes, their body, their system doesn't process the glucose-insulin relationship properly. Their pancreas doesn't secrete enough, doesn't know how to handle it. It's a problem. That's a systemic problem. It has to be treated systemically. A type 2 diabetes problem, they may still be capable of processing sugar and the pancreas doing its job, but they're not systematically treating their system properly. They're eating way too much sugar and doing things that are harmful to the system. Someone who smokes, someone who doesn't exercise, someone who doesn't treat their diet right, doesn't treat their mind right with enough rest and enough education, they're not treating the system the way that it's supposed to. Their processes are corrupting the system. Now, again, if we zoom out to that as a culture and we say, how does my organization, how does my team, whether it's my family or it's a team of 500, how does that team fit within the system? How do we interact with the system of our organization? Is there something corrupt in our system? Or is it just the processes whereby we relate to the system? I love the way when Brandon Dawson talks about organizations growing from that $100,000 to that $5 million to that $50 million, there's gaps. There's things that are missing. There are systems that are not yet in place. There are processes that your company is not yet following. And it's the reason you're hitting that lid. You've reached a point where everything that you're doing isn't sufficient to take you to the next level. Your CEO maybe isn't sufficient to take you to the next level. Your data management isn't sufficient to take you to the next level. If you've got 25 times more customers than you have right now, your whole system would collapse. That's a systemic problem, not a systematic problem. As the leader, you've got to be able to distinguish the two. Can my system continue to grow? The way we manage people, the things that we think about, what we focus our time on. Are we leading them? Are we influencing them in a system that has the capacity to grow? If the answer is no, then no amount of effort, no amount of changing your processes is going to work. I'll just give you a really simple example as my final illustration. If you have a Zoom account that is a free account, and you have clients who want to have 100 people on the call at one time, you have a system problem. Is it that Zoom isn't capable of having 100 people? No, that's not the problem. Is it Is it that you don't have the capability of managing 100 people on a call? Nope, that's not the problem. The problem is the system you've paid for as a free account isn't designed for 100 people. Oh, what if they want to record? Again, if you're on the free system, not an option. How about screen sharing? If you're on the free system, not an option. So if you want to screen share with 100 people and record the call, you got to pay. There's nothing wrong with the system. It's not broken. It's the process through which you engage with an existing system. That's the problem. It's the culture. It's the attitude. It's the way you think about it. Now, if you were to look at that and say, hey, there's revenue to be driven by having 100 people on a call, being able to record it and being able to screen share, I could make money doing that. Well, then you've got to be willing to invest money so you can make money. If you're using some other kind of call system, screen sharing, video conferencing, whatever else, and you run into the same kind of barriers. Well, I can't charge people to be a part of it. Oh, well, that's a problem. Maybe you got the wrong system. Well, I can only have 2,000 people on my mail list. Well, maybe that's because you're using MailChimp and it's the free version. Upgrade to Pro, and now all of a sudden you've got all these extra features. It's not that the system doesn't work. It's a way that you're engaging with the system is not complete. That's the difference between systemic and systematic. I hope this is making sense to you because this is a really big deal. It's the difference between leadership and management. Systemically, you've got to understand what are the systems that you're using, your worldview, your attitude, your communication methods, how you think about what you feel and how you feel about what you think creates the system that everybody in your organization operates within. And if there's something wrong with that system is inadequate, if diversity is off your radar, now, what you do with DEI, that's totally up to you. Those are policies and procedures. Those are systematic approaches to managing or manipulating the existing system. But if you've got the right kind of mind and the right kind of heart toward human beings to begin with, then your systemic approach to humans will negate the necessity to rewrite and reroute systematic processes to manage how you interact with others. If the culture is already there that says, I love all humans and I have grace for everybody, even when we don't share the same ideas, I have grace for them. I expect them to have grace for me. If that's the culture you've created, that's a system that operates in grace and gives people plenty of latitude. Systematically, if you have to come in and force people to agree, force people to be kind to each other, force people at threat of losing their job to be gracious with one another, then your system has a problem and you're systematically trying to dismantle it or rearrange it or get a different function out of it. That's like a hack. It's not altering the system. It's not improving the system. It's not upgrading your access to a better system. It's a hack. And hacks are shortcuts. They're temporary and they're not always effective. And sometimes, in fact, they're dangerous. I don't highly recommend them. If you're a leader who's looking at your organization, looking at what's going on in your organization, the infighting, the arguments, the breakdowns in communication, the breakdowns in getting the results that you want, you need to ask yourself the question, is this a systemic problem, i.e. the system we're using is broken and needs upgraded, updated, or replaced, or is this a systematic problem? We're not using the processes properly to take the best advantage of the systems that we have. And then remember, every organization is a system. From the universe, the solar system, to the mitochondria in your DNA system, the way your blood processes oxygen and proteins and hormones, every one of those systems can be altered. They can be used to their greatest advantage, or they can be taken advantage of, or they can be destroyed carelessly. Take good heart, take good conscious thought to look at the systems that you operate within, and ask yourself, is it time to upgrade the system or is it a new systematic approach that we need to apply? If you'll take the time to do that as a leader, you'll have a greater impact. And as an organization, you'll have a longer lasting impact in the community around you. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast, or Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed
day. Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you.
Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.